My fellow plebs, River is setting a new standard in Bitcoin. At river.com, you'll pay zero fees when you dollar cost average. Truly the best way to build your Bitcoin wealth. All Bitcoin at River is held in secure cold storage with 100% full reserves. There's no need to wonder what's happening behind the scenes. Your Bitcoin is your Bitcoin to withdraw at any time. Additionally, River lets you make Bitcoin payments via the Lightning Network, offers a Lightning integration for developers, and allows you to mine Bitcoin directly to your River account. River has a level of service that is unheard of in this industry, including phone support, private client advisors, and the ability to designate beneficiaries to inherit your Bitcoin wealth. River has become the premium name in Bitcoin that anyone can easily access. Sure, you have a place to buy Bitcoin, but have you tried River? See and feel the difference at river.com and the River iOS app, the preferred partner of Bitcoin Magazine. Over the last 5 years, the Bitcoin Conference has become the world's largest gathering of Bitcoiners. From breaking announcements and international media coverage to countless meaningful talks by thought leaders and industry innovators, we are excited to continue our drive for global hyper-Bitcoinization. From July 25th to the 27th, 2024, we'll be taking the Bitcoin Conference to the city of Music and Freedom, Nashville, Tennessee. Join thousands of attendees for countless opportunities to learn, engage, and network across 3 days of pure Bitcoin signal. Get your tickets now for the best price at b.tc/conference. You are not going to want to miss what Nashville has in store.
Welcome back to the Bitcoin Magazine podcast. It is your host, CK, and I am excited to bring you another winner from the Bitcoin 23 pitch competition. This is Geyser. We have one of the co-founders, Mick, coming on, and we are going to take a deep dive into the project, how the community has embraced it, all the amazing work that they have been doing, and what is next for the Geyser project, what is next for Geyser as a quest, really. So let's bring Mick on. Mick, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. A pleasure to be here. Hey, CK.
Hey, Mick. So it was great meeting you in person in Miami. It seems like it was forever ago, and Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville is now the big topic. But congratulations on winning the pitch competition at the event. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that experience was like, what it was like pitching in front of judges and being at the event?
Yeah, it felt surreal. It felt winning felt too good to be true. There was such amazing, so many amazing startups, such amazing quality projects out there. So yeah, just winning felt great. And really just being able to participate alongside all those great projects and Bitcoin projects. The board was exceptional. Great VCs, great investors, and entrepreneurs on there. And just the whole vibe of Miami, the full seats. Yeah, I'll definitely cherish that memory and always remember that wonderful experience. But yeah, Geyser, overall, we're also not here just for the rewards. Like, we're here to stack memories and to build things. But at the end of the day, we want to build enduring experiences, build a product that will last and bring tons of value to creators. So I think the winning was a fantastic experience, but at the end of the day, it's just another good reminder that we're on the right track and that we need to keep going. But for that, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So I guess, Mick, based on the judges' feedback, why did they select Geyser?
So I think probably a few things. The first thing is we've received a lot of traction. We've gotten a lot of traction this year. To think that we were a pilot program that started in January 2022, but we only opened up Geyser to the world in November. So when we launched, when we did the presentation, was what, February, March? So it really was only 6 months of having been live that we won the award. And I think it's because of how much attraction, how much activity we've seen growing in Geyser. And we've registered 38% month over month, cumulative month over month growth, which of funding activity on our platform. And it was quite crazy. It's not like we planned it, but it was just kind of this linear trajectory of activity, which definitely looks good on the eye of an investor. We also, just because of the Geyser grants, also thanks to those as well, but also the projects themselves on Geyser, because there's now 700 projects that have been created on Geyser. Each project sends their project links to their friends and followers, which increases their ability to get funded, but also increases the Geyser brand. So we really owe it to the amazing number of creators out there that are adding value to Bitcoin, whether it's doing education projects, whether it's having community meetups and getting funding for the communities, or if they are, say, creatives and making art, videos, films, etc. So we really stand on the shoulders of incredible creatives, which we call creators, that add so much value to Bitcoin. And obviously, Geyser acts as a powerful tool, but we wouldn't be here. We would be nowhere without these creators that add so much value. So definitely that the fact that the Bitcoin ecosystem is flourishing and we are positioned as an enabler for these creatives to go out there, do their stuff, and get funded for it. And then we also really made it possible thanks to Bitcoin, thanks to Lightning. Lightning, especially just the amount of activity. People talk about Bitcoin being a dead rock. They talk about Bitcoin being this sort of heavy, useless thing. But Lightning makes it so powerful and so scalable as a tool that people can use to send money across the world globally, interoperably in an open way. So again, Lightning just makes spending Bitcoin joyful, as I say. And so again, Lightning is also another powerful technology that we rely on. Yeah, and that's probably some of the key things that made us.
Awesome. Well, no, I think I love that introduction to some of the key elements of why Geyser has been successful. And we're going to dive into some of the community embrace and stuff like that. But really quick, I want to dive into kind of your history. Why don't you tell your Bitcoin story and how you got to the point of starting Geyser?
Great question. So I first heard about Bitcoin in 2010. Unfortunately, I dismissed it like everyone else pretty much out there. A friend of mine in my dorm room said, "Hey, Mick, we're going to go buy some Bitcoins. Do you want to join in?" And I was like, "What are these Bitcoins?" I thought of it as a sort of this being this ethereal kind of money that you can make out of thin air. And then when kind of prompted more into Bitcoin around 2016, I kind of realized that I didn't know enough about it and that I should probably just start doing some research. And then having done that, and I stumbled upon the Twitter Bitcoin metaverse, and I fell in love with the memes. I was also then began doing some research into Bitcoiners. I thought I had actually, my background is in anthropology, which is a social science looking concern about human culture and human behavior, and also economics. I studied both, and I never was a fan of either. I think academia felt very kind of structured and not very non-enabled different ways of thinking. And so when I encountered these Bitcoiners, I decided to kind of study them to understand, because I found it so fascinating, what the belief system of Bitcoiners. And what I kind of thought to myself is that these guys are either completely nuts or they figured out something very important. And yeah, so eventually I interviewed a lot of Bitcoiners, and as anthropologists say, I went native. I started understanding their perspectives or reading their books. And also thanks to my background in economics, I appreciated the fact that just understanding what is money. And I found it bizarre that in economics, after 4 years of economics, nobody had actually taught me what money was. But then these Bitcoiners had given me a better definition of money than academic economists. So that was really kind of setting the foundations to becoming a Bitcoiner in 2016. I then kept on just pursuing my fiat mining job. I was working as a UX designer, UX UI designer. I worked in fintech. I worked also for a year in the crypto space. But deep down, always as a Bitcoiner, and just what really prompted me to start a Geyser were two things. One was just playing around with my Umbral node, helped me really to understand Lightning, how it works in the technical nitty-gritties. That was for me like a mind-blowing experience. Just realizing that we can scale Bitcoin to the world was really important for me. And then secondly, it was just seeing everyone on Twitter, all these Bitcoiners coming up with ideas, Bitcoiners building, doing movies, people doing education around the world. I met Paco in our early days, seeing how he was going around the world, he hadn't started yet, but he wanted to go around the world to teach people about Bitcoin. and a few of these projects. And I remember just seeing people just sharing their QR codes on Twitter. I'm just thinking, this isn't a good way to take an idea forward. Tweets get lost, they're ephemeral. Money is not embedded in the platform. We just need a crowdfunding platform of sorts. And as time progressed, what we realized, I think, or where the world is moving, is that everyone's a creator. Everyone has idea. Everyone has a project. And I think the sheer number of projects that are launching on Geyser is really proving us right, that everyone has these projects that they want to get funded for. And just the community funding is just one element, one important element. It's basically the community giving feedback that the idea is a good idea. So it doesn't matter how much you're looking to raise, but it's more that you get out there and you get started and the community kind of supports you and pushes you to kind of go ahead. Apart from that, but then even further came then the realization that we are starting to see the realm of work moving into the online space. So there are so many projects that, you know, that are starting to, that could down the road really make these into real type of almost entrepreneurial types of initiatives, making these projects on Geyser actual things that are that could be actual businesses. So we started selling items on Geyser. Geyser started as a donation-based crowdfunding, but then it became a platform for actually selling your products related to your ideas. And now I think around 50% of all funding comes in the form of purchasing these goods. And that's growing also a lot. So I think, basically to sum it all up, Geyser right now is really a platform for three different kind of categories of users, right? So there's projects that have to do with Bitcoin education that want to spread Bitcoin education, and Bitcoiners love to give support to these types of projects. You have projects focused on culture, right? And a lot of culture is focused on actually selling goodies, selling small trinkets or merch, and such as Bitcoin trading cards and Bitcoin ATM. There's so many different projects. And then finally, the Bitcoin community element. Bitcoin community is so strong. Communities form meetups. They form different types of engaging types of events. And they use Geyser to kind of get community support, sell tickets, and so forth.
So are you full-time on Geyser now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we've been full-time now. Actually, it's been exactly a year we're full-time. We were really funded really early. And in the very, very beginning, it was very much bootstrapped the first 5 months. But we were lucky enough to get some Bitcoin angel investors like Brad Mills and some others to fund us in the very, very beginning. And then we were able to get some funding from some Bitcoin VCs. And we really feel strongly about going for VCs that are very focused on Bitcoin. So this was Hivemind Ventures, Max Webster, and Lightning Ventures as well.
Cool. Yeah. And I think both were at the Bitcoin conference as well. But Mick, I want to kind of tease on some of the things you hit on. You hit on a ton of things, so thank you for really going into everything. But I think the perspective of Bitcoin from a anthropological perspective is one of the most interesting perspectives, mm-hmm. because in many ways, Bitcoin is disguised as this like trading thing. But in many ways, like Bitcoin's almost like this back to roots, back to the earth type of a technology, which is super counterintuitive to almost everyone who is, you know, in technology right now. Can you talk a little bit about that specific perspective?
Oh, man, such a really good point. I totally agree with that perspective. It removes all the abstractions. It goes back to really the like nature in a sense of proof of work, energy based. It's rooted in reality and nature. I think that makes a lot of sense. And it took me a long time to figure that out, right? And because I went down studying Bitcoiners, but a lot of the Bitcoiners I studied were just like traders. So in that sense, I went through the journey, the epic journey of shitcoins, and realizing that a lot of that was mostly bogus. And so, yeah. And so when you think about that perspective of money in anthropology, it's absolutely critical. And in anthropology, you don't learn about money. In economics, you also don't learn about money. So, I would say that in this sense, I've said this before, that the Bitcoin standard does better job of doing anthropology than anthropologists in academia these days. And this is sort of the kind of the problem, I think, and that if you go to study anthropology these days, the majority of what it teaches you is really the relativism, the fact that every culture is, it's a really an extreme form of relativism. Cultural relativism is important as a way of just not judging, just accepting things for what they are. But then we also have to appreciate the fact that technology is what emancipates humanity, is what has always made life better, more productive, and improved living standards and so forth. And Bitcoin represents this other way, like this additional thing to improve and emancipate humanity. And if you just look at what we've used, and this is really straight out of the Bitcoin standard, right? If you look at what functions, so what types of monies humans have had, right? If you look at us using seashells, and then the seashells getting corrupted because you can farm seashells, people using obsidian, and then from obsidian and other minerals, they started going to harder and harder metals, then you realize that people go towards a form of money that is more scarce, that is more scarce, that is less easily manipulatable. And so Bitcoin really is a money that everyone owns, but nobody controls, right? Bitcoin represents a money that is harder than, in time, will be harder than gold. It is one of the most beautifully designed monies that we've come across. And so from that anthropological perspective, yeah, it makes so much sense, right? From an evolution of culture perspective, which is something that anthropologists would never accept to say of the evolution of culture, what is that? But it is a way of emancipating humanity. And as a side note, I really learned this the hard way, like how technology helps humanity. I grew up with a lot of thinking that, technology, it's doing bad. It's also, if you think about how it's making people addicted to screens, it's making people bad. It's almost like a lot of anthropology these days is romantic to the past, but in a dangerous way. We should never forget how technology is the key pillar to human progress and flourishing. And so I was about to mention, for me, the learning came when I was working in an NGO when I was younger after university in Nepal. And I remember going to this really remote village in the Terai region, which is close to India, in the plateau. And there were these villages that didn't have any toilets, didn't have any paved roads. And I was going in as an anthropologist kind of working for the development sector, seeing how can these people, how can we improve their lives, and noticing all these things that they didn't have. But what was bizarre to me is that what they had was a smartphone. They didn't have toilets, but they had smartphones that they used to communicate with each other all around the world. And in so doing, they were able to make money in other countries and bring them back. And what I didn't know at the time was that Bitcoin would be that additional tool that they could use. What I realized at the point is that this is how we help humanity. That's how, and it's through money. It's through technology, and Bitcoin is nothing but a monetary technology, helps secure our wealth into the future.
No, I think that's very beautifully said. And yeah, I agree. And I think that you can't really be a humanitarian unless you embrace Bitcoin. And yeah. I also think that you can't really be a true environmentalist unless you embrace Bitcoin, but we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. Let's stay focused on Geyser. So you mentioned that it started with grants and then you evolved to products. Over 22 Bitcoin have been raised through the platform. Is that number correct? Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's about right.
And then 700 projects. The Bitcoin community has completely embraced this project. I think right now, Geyser is probably the go-to place to do a crowdsource or even an easy spin up website to sell goods. Can you just talk about what's the UX like? How is it like jumping onto Geyser and setting things up? What do you need?
Right. So when starting Geyser, one of our core tenets is really bringing Bitcoin and the properties of Bitcoin and Lightning to the world. That was really like the key foundational impulse into Geyser. The fact that Bitcoin and Lightning are there, then let's make it usable for everyone. And so we wanted to do that, but at the same time, maintain some of the key principles of, say, censorship resistance and non-custody. Like, we didn't want to be custodying people's funds. We also saw what happened in Canada with the truckers. We said, we don't want to be freezing anybody's funds. And so these are the key tenets by which we operate. And so we were able to build a platform that is incredibly easy to use. And I would say, the big innovation that we were brought to the table is the ability for any project to be created in just 1 minute, and for the funds to be received straight into your wallet. I don't believe anybody had done this before, but we made it possible for any creator that has a Lightning wallet to just plug in their Lightning wallet, Lightning address, and then start receiving funds straight into their wallet. And we did that. The innovation was using HODL invoices. And HODL invoices are just this technique of wrapping Lightning invoices one into the other so that they would pass through our node, which would allow us to verify that the payment has been made and then pass it along to the creator of the project. So by doing that, we made it really leveraging Lightning, leveraging Bitcoin. You can also fund on chain, and then we swap all the funds over to Lightning, to your Lightning address. So we made it super easy, and we reduced the friction. We reduced also the reliance on chain Bitcoin. The fact that we went Bitcoin Lightning native made it possible for us to like scale this and allow people to send one Satoshi, right? So yeah, that's really kind of our push to make guys super easy to use, leveraging Lightning and really focusing on improving the experience around being able to kind of tell your story as well with the project, selling goods. And yeah, we also have more features coming up around that.
Yeah. Anything that you can tease?
Yes. So we recently enabled login with Noster, but we do have plans to go deeper down the Noster rabbit hole. But what I will say is that when you say Noster, a lot of people say, oh man, what is it? And let me just say that we're going to create something that will make, that will leverage a lot of the properties of Noster, just like with Bitcoin, just like what we did for Bitcoin, but still makes it incredibly easy to use. And you may not even have to know, you may not even have to know what Noster is. So that's sort of our plan. Like, we understand the power that Noster can provide to developers like ourselves, but also to the creators in terms of them being able to broadcast information more deeply, more fully. And so we want to leverage a lot of these properties of Noster while at the same time maintaining usability, access, accessibility for every user. And hopefully this could be another tool that can go mainstream and bring Bitcoin and Noster to the world.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I was going to ask, Noster's emerging as potentially Rails for doing some fundraising. I was curious what your thoughts were, but there you go. You're going headfirst into Noster, and I think that's extremely exciting. It's really interesting to hear you talk about really kind of the best of Bitcoin, which is like you can create a good experience with centralized services that also leverage Bitcoin's non-custodial relationship and takes a lot of risk away because you can instantly send the Lightning transfer once things settle. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Is that an approach that you think is going to continue to be an approach that most projects take or projects should take? Like, what do you think about how you've architected Geyser?
Yeah, so Lightning is great, right? If you think about the speed of transaction, instant transactions, if you think about speed, so instant, cheap, global, borderless, interoperable, programmable, like all these incredible features. Now, in doing so, you can still achieve censorship resistance. There are great wallets out there like Breeze, like Phoenix, that still allow you to maintain the censorship resistance at the cost of usability, potentially usability, and also usability in the sense of it's a little harder to use, and also you can't fully leverage things like push payments, like using LNURL. So there is that. But so how we've leveraged Lightning though is through the use of these Lightning addresses that allow us to basically wrap invoices and send them to the creators without asking for an invoice directly. And that does come at the cost of it being a little bit more less censorship resistant. We are not the potential censoring party. These are the custodial wallets that have to operate in this way. I think so. The way forward, there's two things I think that are happening. One thing is Lightning, these Lightning custodial, Lightning non-custodial wallets like Breeze and Phoenix will start integrating and enabling Lightning addresses, which would be great because then we don't have to rely on these on more custodial options, custodial Lightning wallets. And then the second thing that I think is really exciting are what I think will happen, which is a marketplace of Lightning nodes, right? So imagine that you're recommending a wallet to someone. You said, okay, download Wallet Satoshi. Okay, Wallet Satoshi is great, but it's very custodial. What if you were to kind of tell someone to download a wallet that has actually, that where you decide who the custodian is? So it's still custodial, still leveraging all the incredible properties of Lightning, custodial Lightning, but it's a lot more, you get to decide which node to trust based on their history, based on the reputation of the wallet, of the actual custodial Lightning wallet. So I think there are developments there that are really exciting around making really a marketplace of Lightning wallets that can provide more competition, that can provide more access, and hopefully more trust if you have a reputation system that you can corroborate. So I'm really bullish on those things. Fedi is also an interesting project that is using Lightning addresses. So you actually, guys, there's going to be an app inside Fedi, hopefully an app within Zebedee as well. So again, all these kind of places where people can access their kind of marketplace, Geyser could be one of those tools that they can use. Again, Fedi is interesting, but yeah, these are all basically solutions to Lightning to make it more censorship resistant even further. I don't think we have to. I think on-chain is fantastic when it comes to censorship resistance, but we're not going to be able to scale it properly. I know developments like Arc are really exciting. I'm looking forward to see how that pans out. I'm optimistic, but it'll be 3-4 years before we start seeing it in our wallets. So probably should wait to see what happens.
Yeah, no, definitely. It sounds like obviously you are really in touch with like the developments and the protocols that are emerging around Bitcoin. You as a person stay flexible to adopting kind of new tech, and how does Geyser also stay flexible to doing that? It's not easy to integrate new things like new identity into your platform. But you know, obviously you're ahead of the curve there with adding in Noster.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's important to stay cool minded and not get swept up by the hype. Like I know a lot of projects like, oh, there's AI, and so we'll build something with AI, and oh, there's Noster, you'll build something with Noster. And so we've been really careful like not to do that. Like we were early in Noster, and we made a calculated decision that it wasn't the right time. But now we feel like it's the right time. Like now we have understood very well like what we can do with Noster and what Noster enables, that we feel confident that it makes sense to double down on it. So yeah, so you know, you have to stay flexible. And so the beautiful thing of a Noster is that it allows us to remain extremely flexible in terms of how our infrastructure works. So, and it really empowers us to build faster, better, cheaper. So for me, it's honestly it makes so much sense. And hopefully we'll be one of the first non-social media, not Twitter clones that decides to build on it, because I think that's where the exciting stuff is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. And with that being said, what does Noster need to, how can Noster need to improve, or where do you think the biggest shortcomings are right now for Noster? I know people have said like DMs aren't really private. Maybe they're encrypted, but people can still see who you're messaging. What are the shortcomings you see on the protocol level?
Yeah, I think at the protocol level, it's exciting to see how many things I thought were problems that are not getting solved. Like I always thought the problem was like just the, so if you send data to different relays, right? How do you ensure that the data across the relays is up to date? And now they have developed a gossip protocol for Noster, and a lot of clients have already integrated it, and that's really exciting. So when it comes to more protocol challenges, I'm actually, I think the main challenge is more when it comes to the tooling right now, to be honest. I think that the protocol is still quite flexible enough that a lot can be changed if needed. What I think is needed is more the tooling for developers to keep on building on Nostr, and not just tool for social Twitter clones, but actual for Nostr web app applications and tools such as Geyser to use it in a fully non-custodial way. Because it's easy to kind of maintain the private key of the users, but ideally that's not the case, right? We want to be able to, so I think platforms like Albi are doing a great job helping people maintain custody of their NSECs, but we need more tools to enable that type of creation, NSEC creation, NSEC storage, delegation around all of that. In terms of protocol, I think there's probably more, but I'll be finding out more in the coming months.
No, I think that's really good. And talking about, holding on to your private key, that seems to be the biggest area where mistakes can happen. The easiest thing to do is just to generate it and use it in one client and don't move it around. But obviously that's limiting. Eventually, maybe you want to change clients, and doing that in a safe way is something that I really hope the UX really improves a lot on Nostr. But it's really exciting to see the protocol get adopted. Personally, I would say I'm a lightweight user. I kind of have a social media mix and it's one of them. But I too think that this idea of Twitter clones is just the first step, right? Yeah. It's like what comes next. And I'm kind of curious what ideas that you're seeing pop around and leveraging the Nostr capabilities and protocol are getting you excited.
I think I'm seeing a lot of tooling around that. Like I'm seeing people develop split payments using, I think they call them split zaps, splitting payments across different users through zaps. That's incredibly exciting. I'm seeing the highlighter projects being able to highlight and then connect. The fact that it's so programmable, connecting it to AI and Lightning, that kind of triad is going to be, I think, very exciting. But I think the most interesting thing to me, though, when it comes to Nostr is just the incredible kind of speed and flexibility of communication that it enables. I think that's where Geyser right now is, feels a little bit like an island. We don't really have a chat or comments and stuff. But once we integrate Nostr, there's so much that we can do to enable those types of interactions. And I guess maybe bringing it full circle to my background in anthropology, I think there's nothing more perplexing and bad than having a platform that doesn't allow people to fully connect with each other and exchange information, emotions, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's what Nostr can really elevate humanity, elevate us by talking and speaking to each other, communicating when the world is all about censorship. It can elevate humanity by enabling bridges to be built across countries, across beliefs, across viewpoints and opinions. So again, I think technology goes back to technology, emancipated humanity, and Nostr being that communication layer, that uncensorable, open, free communication layer that anyone can access and can really only make you stronger as a country, as a company, as a person. But we just need to start building on it.
Awesome. No, I really appreciate the answer. And again, I think I fully agree. And I'm excited to spend more time on Nostr. So I already posted on my Twitter that I'm planning on taking a Twitter break or an X break or whatever it's called now. And during that time, I'm going to reassign a lot of my energy I've been giving to Twitter over to Nostr. So really excited for that. Mick, want to wrap up here, give you the last word. This has been a really great conversation. And it's really exciting to hear about the ways that you're thinking about progressing Geyser. And I've actually never set up a grant or set up products on there, but I might have to dabble in that. So excited to jump onto the platform myself.
Cheers, man. Yeah, look, Geyser is a platform open for anyone to use. It allows anyone that has an idea to put it out there and start getting support from the community. Right now, most of projects on Geyser have to do with Bitcoin education, culture, and community. But I think as we move forward, we will see more projects that are not Bitcoin related. And that excites me. The fact that Bitcoin can be used as a tool, but not as you could say, the medium, but not the message. And I think right now there's still a lot of work to be done on Bitcoin. So super happy to see projects being built for and around Bitcoin. But yeah, guys, there's a platform for all, just like Bitcoin is a platform for anyone.
Awesome. Well, again, I'm excited to jump on. Mick, thank you so much for coming onto the show. To all the listeners, find me at Bitcoin Amsterdam, October 12th through the 13th. And I hope that you enjoy this episode. I hope that you take some time and check out Geyser. So y'all have a good one and peace out.
Thank you, Miami, for the last 3 years in this amazing city. The whole world shut down, but Miami welcomed us with open arms. We want to show Bitcoin to the whole world. We are taking the conference on the road to set the stage for Bitcoin in a new city. Nashville. Bitcoin 2024 is coming to Nashville in Tennessee, a city that is known as a music and freedom city. Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville from July 25th to 27th. Thank you, Miami, for the last 3 years in this amazing city. The whole world shut down, but Miami welcomed us with open arms. We want to show Bitcoin to the whole world. We are taking the conference on the road to set the stage for Bitcoin in a new city. Nashville. Bitcoin 2024 is coming to Nashville in Tennessee, a city that is known as a music and freedom city. Bitcoin 2024 in Nashville from July 25th to 27th.